My name is Paul Buckles. I'm the president and chief financial officer for Lloyd Ganton Retirement Centers. And next month, I'll be celebrating my 26-year anniversary with the company.
So, Paul, how many different properties are there within the Lloyd Ganton Retirement, the GRC, Ganton Retirement Communities? How many are there?
There's six large facilities and eight different total entities that comprise every level of care and housing for seniors.
And which of those do you feel has the most clear and present danger when it comes to COVID-19? What's your most at-risk population?
I would say our nursing home has probably the greatest danger within that facility, the most vulnerable because it's the highest level of care that we provide, and a population that obviously needs around-the-clock care. So that would be the most vulnerable, but we still have facilities that I need. All of our staffing levels are almost identical to where they were before this hit. So that means I still have multiple employees coming into the building to care for our amazing population that we serve. So the assisted livings are probably second on that list. And then our semi-independent would be third, because we still have to provide care and services for those seniors that are living that do rely on us.
Paul, for those that are unindoctrinated, you and I use terms like SNF and AL and, you know, IL, all of that stuff. Can you give me a definition of what the different levels of care are?
Sure. Skilled nursing, which you mentioned, SNF, skilled nursing facility.
Those are all, they're referred to as nursing homes too, right?
That's correct. Yep. And that, like I said, it's the highest level of care that we provide. It's 24-hour care. Payment comes from either Medicaid, Medicare, or private pay. And we are very heavily regulated by the government, by the state of Michigan. Within that, in the nursing home. It's the oldest part of our portfolio, too. 52 years we're celebrating this year, Arbor Manor. And so the next step is the assisted living, AL, memory care. We have three of those facilities, Summit Park, Spring Arbor Assisted Living, and Legacy Assisted Living. That has become an area where it's really boomed across the country, but we provide three meals a day. We are licensed by the state of Michigan, and we provide from multiple levels of care. Entry level, where you may need just a little bit of help with your medication and guidance to you know, for activities and things like that, where the dining room is, and to the Alzheimer's patient within those facilities that have that horrible disease, and we work with them very closely and very high levels of care there also, comparable to the nursing home, but yet it's still in their own private room, private setting, and again, that's become very popular, not just in our area, but across the country. The next level we have are Arbor Oaks Living Center and Brooklyn Living Center, and some might call it semi-assisted. We call it semi-independent, and we provide very minimal hands-on care there. The resident still is very independent, ambulates and walks around the building facility by themselves still, and we provide two meals a day, a continental breakfast and then a big lunch for them. And then dinner is on their own in their own apartment that they can, if they really want to cook all three meals, they can. But that's what is provided in those semi-independent living units. And then our final level of care really is, our housing is the independent living. And we have multiple locations with that. Summit Park Estates Arbor Meadows in Spring Arbor, and then Deer Run is our newest. All of those have different type of housing. It's completely independent. You have your own garage, some two-car garages. So it's kind of a spectrum of options available for independent living in Jackson County.
Paul, as an organization, when did the coronavirus and COVID-19 pop up on your radar?
I think we've been hearing quite a bit, you know, from the start of the year. January, February are kind of, oh, this is a China problem, this is an Italy problem. That I actually know the owner of the nursing home in which the first, really, the case hit in Washington and really took off and was a real eye-opener. You know, and the country was looking at that and saying, my goodness, how did that really explode and spread? So kind of observing that and saying, you know, we have the population that is the most vulnerable. We need to do what we can to take precautionary measures. So, you know, if you've read that article about that, how it played out, you know, I've seen some similar things that we've had in years past with the flu. And we've, you know, it seems like this time of year, you know, February, March, you know, Mardi Gras around that time, it's basically we've had that where we are quarantining and really taking precautionary measures. So we've always been somewhat prepared for the flu, and we kind of compare it to that, not to the degree in which we're doing now, but yet every year one of the facilities, or you hear of multiple entities that, hey, they're quarantining, so don't, you know, you can't visit, don't go in. I've never had all of my buildings where we're quarantining, and so that mid-February, early March time frame is when we actually took measures and said, hey, we need to put a stop to the visitors, and CDC, ACA, NCAL, all those professional organizations that we are a part of were really warning us and giving us heads up and guidelines in which we should follow that we are doing, and really taking charge of the precautionary measures to protect our most vulnerable residents.
What were your conversations like with the administrator you knew? Where was that? Was that Washington State or D.C.?
Washington State. I actually didn't talk with him after that, because I know it was, now the results are pretty grim with how that has played out. It's a gentleman, Forrest Preston's the owner of Life Care Centers. We haven't spoken with him. I think Lloyd reached out to him. But just a downright scary situation. You know, when it just can spread so easily, you start thinking, how do I protect myself? How do I protect the resident? How do I protect staff? It's a very scary thing to go through. And as I followed it around the country, things just can spread like wildfire. So you have to be dedicated to making sure every potential, you know, possibility of spread, you're trying to minimize that to the best of your capability. So it's a very scary situation. We are very prepared and have dedicated wings if we get to that point where it's like it's taking, like I said, with wildfire. We are very prepared for that, and are making sure that our staff are safe and residents are safe, and we have to continue keeping the doors open while they're being shut. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a very scary time, and we all want this to be over as soon as possible.
So with that, you've got a population there, Paul, obviously, that is amongst the most susceptible and really fall within the category of falling within the fatality range, the mortality rate within that population. Once you get over 70, it's not all that promising. So what type of measures have you taken? Let's talk a little bit about the flu first. What do you do to prevent the spread of the flu in a typical year?
So what we would normally do, staff would wear masks, washing. I mean, the simple things that you're hearing everyone say: wash your hands, stay home. Well, we would always go to the nth degree to make sure upon entry, wash your hands, do the appropriate care for the resident. When we leave, we wash our hands. There's just a lot of those things you're hearing: wash your hands, take care of the garbage on a daily basis, be careful, wear the mask, gloves, all those things, you know, we have always done. We're still doing. We're just going a step further with the quarantining or the stopping all visitors and people coming in, you know, leaving deliveries that families would make to the resident, you know, different things for their apartment, you know, leaving it in the lobby and then wiping it down and bringing it in, all those things that we're just going above and beyond what we normally would do. We obviously would not do that back with the flu when it would hit, but asking all the staff to wear the masks and gloves and washing hands repeatedly, that's the most that we can do and are doing now. The measures we're going above and beyond, obviously, we're screening every employee when they come in. We're checking temperature, asking the questions, you know, have you come in contact with somebody that has COVID-19 or suspected? And anyone who's not feeling well, we're going above and beyond and saying just stay home, don't come in. And so the stress has hit the staff for sure, because we still need to work and care for our residents. So we're working longer hours, and we're covering everything that needs to be done to still provide for our residents.
How are you doing as far as masks and gloves? Are you experiencing some of the same pitfalls that the hospital might be facing?
I think so. You know, we do not have the N95 masks that hospitals need. We have had a number of families and people that are just, that have been so generous, are fabricating and creating these masks out of material that we know could be washed and utilized. So we're seeing some very some really cool things with creativity, and the generosity has been significant. But we will not turn away a gift, a donation for those masks, because that is something that we need. And again, we're not, you know, looking for N95 masks. We wouldn't turn them away if they were provided, but we're asking everyone to wear them in the building just to be one more precautionary measure. So if they wanted to do make a donation, obviously our nursing home, our assisted living, Arbor Manor or Legacy Assisted, Summit Park Assisted, or Spring Arbor Assisted Living, we've had some very generous people drop off those masks for our staff to use.
How have families responded to the quarantining?
You know, it's been a mixed bag. I think initially it was hard to explain and for families to understand. But again, we went above and beyond, and I believe we quarantined sooner than most, just because we saw what was going on and the real potential, and my knowledge of obviously hearing what's going on in Washington State and in the Seattle area. So we have been proactive, informing families, scheduling FaceTime. I purchased a number of iPads so that we can keep the lines of communication open. We've seen some really cool stories and different posts on either Facebook, Instagram, where people are celebrating birthdays through the window in their apartments. And the FaceTiming, you know, not all of our seniors are able to understand this thing put in front of their face that is communicating. But we're doing that with as many people as possible, and really encouraging positivity. You know, we've got a pretty resilient staff and resilient team, and our residents are they're understanding, and I'm checking daily taking kind of the temperature of the environment and how positive the employees are. And I've got an amazing team. I'm just so proud to be the leader of these people. Healthcare workers are strong and positive and making our residents laugh. Some really cool things, some karaoke we've seen done, and our activity staff is just going above and beyond and making sure to have our residents smile and to stay positive. And most of them are getting it. Most of them of the staff and families are just they're making a fun situation out of a really tough one, and it's really cool to see that.
When you're dealing with a population, you referenced Alzheimer's earlier and dementia. When you're dealing with a population that has that type of affliction, that horrible disease, how difficult is it to ensure that they are social distancing, that they aren't touching their hands or face? How arduous of a task, monumental of a task is that, Paul?
I mean, that's about the toughest thing that you can do. You have to balance care in trying to understand and distance. We're doing the best that we can, is how I would say we're doing. But you can imagine trying to explain to someone who's not cognitively capable of getting that. So we're caring for them and doing the best that we can. We're praying that all of the precautionary measures that we're taking and monitoring that doesn't hit us to where, because that's about the scariest thing you could ask for. And the families have put their faith in us that we will care to the best of our ability for their loved one, and they are family. So we're still caring for them, and we're doing the best that we can to redirect, and you can't explain the social distancing and the things that we're doing, but we're doing the best that we can in regard to that in a very tough situation.
Paul, tell me how you empathize with everyone, and I know you yourself are going into an environment daily where there's a population that is at risk, and especially when it comes to a skilled nursing facility, Arbor Manor, any of those, you could have a new resident come in that isn't showing any symptoms. But how is it that you best empathize with your staff that is coming to a place where it's healthcare and definitely, once again, an at-risk population, and then they go home to their own families?
Yeah. You know, I think, again, when you're in a tough situation, it seems like, great athletes rise to great occasions. That's where our great employees are rising to this very tough situation. And, the washing of their garments, their outfits, after they leave. And, to expand on, when you have people going out, we're checking all of our residents' temperatures in the nursing homes 3 times daily. If anyone leaves the hospital, they're coming back and they're quarantined. I mean, we are doing all of the appropriate measures with that. But, yes, the fear of coming to work and wondering, am I adding to the potential spread by coming in? And we still have to care for them, and just to encourage them to be as safe, wash their hands, and be as make good decisions about their outfits and garments and where they're going. With almost 400 employees, they still have to shop. They still have to eat. They still have to take their family. They, take care of their family. So there's potential situations all over that could, when this thing could spread, it would be next to impossible. But we're, you know, to stop it. But we're asking them to be as cautious as possible, stay positive, encourage them, and make good choices with hand washing and keeping themselves well and safe. I think they actually probably think more about that as they leave, they go home, and participating with that social distancing.
Paul, you've got a myriad of staff. I think that might be what differentiates a retirement community from another healthcare type of facility, where you have the same faces daily that are living in an apartment as opposed to a hospital room. But you're mm-hmm. also bringing in housekeeping. You're bringing in maintenance. You're bringing in a kitchen staff. Are you having meetings on a daily basis? How is that communication happening with your team as a whole? Because you mentioned it, you've got over 400 employees, Paul.
Yeah, we're staying in contact. We're communicating to the best of our ability with them. Again, trying to minimize exposure, minimize face-to-face contact, so keeping the distancing, wearing the masks are important, and gloves, and again, encouraging them to wash their hands often. You know, the dry, cracking hands are definitely prevalent, and trying to help them remain positive during this time. And if there's anyone that we can cut back or minimize, we've done that, but there's very minimal that we can do with that. And so we're not doing group activities, so we're still trying to have our activities, communicate with families, and trying to do bingo with 6 feet distance, which that's one of their funnest things to do, or favorite things to do. But just still, you got to keep the positivity there and the life there, because our residents need us, and they need that that contact in a different way, in a positive way. But they're still social. Things can go bad when everyone is quarantining their own home if they're by themselves. Things like depression and isolation, they're not good things. And we're good at keeping our residents positive and engaged and happy. So it's trying to deliver the message in a different way, and still caring for them. And I would say we're doing a fantastic job with that.
How have you had to deal with either someone with COVID within a community of yours? And again, you can take it, you said it yourself, you can take every precaution necessary and still end up in that type of situation. And I'm not asking you for Paul for the exact location of if and when you did have somebody there, or have you dealt with someone that's coming back to the SNF after having recovered from it?
We haven't had anyone come back that's recovered. We have had tests done. We've had one positive test, actually. They're not in our facility currently. We have people who want to move in. They're within another facility east of town that we know have multiple confirmed cases, and we're asking for that to be delayed to where we know that they're negative. So we're again, it's not far from us. We know of some in the community that have had it within the Spring Arbor community, but yet none in our facility at this time. I'm proud to say that, but you hear of many others that it still comes in, and it can still come in. And I don't know how long this is going to linger, but know that if we have someone that does move in, they're going to be quarantined in their apartment. We're going to be checking them and taking precautionary measures however we can to ensure their safety and the rest of our residents' safety.
Anything I haven't asked that you'd like to address, Paul?
I don't know, maybe a statement. I'm just so proud of our team, our residents, and our resident families. I really appreciate each and every one of them for being as positive as possible through this situation. Like I said, the delivery and the communication of that delivery is different. It's unique through windows, through FaceTime, through phone calls. And I really appreciate everyone understanding that we're all in this together. We're trying to get through this together. And I won't apologize for being cautious. And I don't believe any family member would agree that I've been too cautious or that we have. We're just trying to keep them safe. We love them. We are so proud to be able to call them one of our family members. And so we're very proud. I'm very proud of the team, the families that have understood why we're trying to do this. And it's tough, but we're going to get through this together. So I think we've covered everything. As I mentioned with the masks, if there's people out there want to, you know, while they're quarantining at home and they're creative, want to create some masks for our employees, we won't say no to those, to our facilities. So very much appreciate that, and I appreciate you having me on so we can communicate the good things going on and the challenges that we're going through.
Paul, one final question for you. Here we are, it's April 9th, Thursday, April 9th. If you could rewind time and maybe even go back in time and sit down knowing what you know now, and talk to Paul Buckles on Monday, March 2nd, what would you say to yourself?
I would say get ready for the storm. It's coming. Stay positive, but keep doing what you're doing. I don't know if I'd change anything that we've done. I don't think we've had any missteps. I would just say just remain positive and maybe call a supplier for a mask if you're looking for that. But I would just say to myself, stay positive. You're going to get through this. You know, that's what I would say, Scott.
How you doing on toilet paper?
we're good. I think, you know, to the we shop for our residents too, and there's just some really good people that we're always looking for. Hey, who's got the most current roll of paper and paper towel? We've reached out. People have gotten paper towel and hand sanitizer. We're pretty stocked up. We won't turn people down if they say, I just really want to give you something or help out because I know you need it. But we're doing pretty good. Yeah, there's no complaints, no shortages. Daily we're in contact with our team, and we're doing very good. So how about you? Are you doing all right?
Oh, we're stocked up. It's funny. I 2 weeks prior to all of this, I did all my regular grocery shopping at Sam's Club. And you know you can't buy anything at Sam's Club for less than, I think I have 10,000 rolls. I think that's where I'm at. And that was just the smallest container I could get.
Okay.
So, my goodness. If you need anything, let me know.